Good morning, friends and brethren. Very good to see you this morning. A few visitors with us, we're glad to see you. You're an encouragement to us by being with us today. Well, this past week, it happened again. An event that is becoming far too common in our country. The horrific shootings in San Bernardino are only the latest in a string of mass murders aimed at striking fear within us. Terrorist attacks are happening in our country with a more frequent occurrence, so much so that we hardly know what to expect next. Other countries have lived with fear of these events for years, but in many ways, we have been shielded from this terror. And tragedies such as these leave a mark. Anyone old enough to remember 9/11 can tell you exactly where they were and what they were doing when those attacks occurred. And we remember the emotions as we watched with terror and with anger as thousands of American lives were lost in that attack. And for days and months and years, many have mourned the loss of loved ones. And all of us have mourned a loss of a more simpler way of life before that event. But because of these attacks, and not just terrorist attacks, but actions of all kinds of evil perpetrated by men, our lives have changed. Not only must we endure the frustrations of security checks in public places, but we also feel an intrusion into our privacy. And perhaps even now we find ourselves asking, is there any place that we can go and be safe? Is there anywhere that we do not have to fear the evil intentions of man? Is it possible that once again we could lay our head on the pillow at night and not be concerned about what's going to happen the next day with regard to the security of our country? Or we just wonder, will there be some kind of an evil attack? You know, our nation has been blessed in a multitude of ways. And we count our blessings and we love our country. And most of us have an allegiance to this country and we stand proud because of the many things that this country has stood for. And many have come to this country because of the opportunity that it provides and the hope that it offers. No matter how great our country may be, in reality, it can never offer us what we need the most. True security and hope. Evil and repugnant men exist and seemingly are flourishing. Their evil schemes are to be found all around us, and the decay of morals in mankind may leave us wondering sometimes, where is God in all of this? A short time back, when a gunman entered a school building, killing children and teachers in Newtown, Connecticut, there were some who were left asking, where was God in Newtown? And a new round of questions have arisen this week after the murders perpetrated by the terrorists, some saying, where is God? The headline in one newspaper this week stated sarcastically, God is not fixing this. And that was a response to some comments that some had made, just simply saying, our thoughts and prayers are with those who are suffering in the tragedy. And to that they responded, God is not fixing this. The idea of prayer and God's intervention was vehemently rejected by some, and their implication was very simply that God doesn't care or that he's not willing to ask. And in a very serious way, very frankly, I would say, I'm not sure what our expectations of God should even be at this point. As a nation, I'm speaking. Because after all, as a nation, there has been such a movement away from God. why would some even have any expectation that God is willing to respond to us? Where is God in all of this, we might ask? Well, perhaps instead of directing the question toward God, we need to direct this question toward ourselves. Where are we in all of this? I mean, as a nation, America has thrown God out of its schools, and he's nowhere to be found in instruction or in schools of higher instruction. God has been virtually eliminated from government. God is being ignored even inside our families. And many are casting God aside at every turn. No concern is given to what would God want us to do. Rejection of God's design for marriage and family lies at the root of many problems that manifest themselves in our society today. And the majority of Americans now ignore God in their daily lives and in the choices that are made and in the basic instructions on how we are to live in the world. Nobody gives a consideration, or at least few do, to what God has to say, very simply. As a nation, we are reaping what we've sown. You know, if we can filter out the emotion for a moment, we need to remember that God is in no way connected with evil. And there are some who would like to blur those lines in such a way to somehow, when there's some evil event that takes place, somehow make God a part of that. But we must never blame God for actions of darkness and evil, because God represents everything that is good and pure and light. Take your Bibles. And let's go to the book of John. John, the first chapter. God is not the source of evil. But instead, He is the source of light in a darkened world. He has always been that, and He has always represented that. Never more so than when we see the Son of Man, the Son of God, as He comes to the world. In John chapter 1, beginning verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And again to say that we must never blame God for the actions of darkness and evil. God is not the source of evil, but instead, opposite of that, He is the source of light in a darkened world. Jesus came to shine that light and to shine it ever more brightly. Still in the book of John in chapter 8, and it's in verse 12 where Jesus said, I am the light of the world, and he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And so we can see, we should understand who Jesus is and his point and his purpose, his place, that he represents the light that God has always been. And that in a very real way, he represents life and light in this world. Light dispels darkness. And yet a person can shut himself off even from the light of the sun. And I'm not speaking of the Son of God in this case, but the sun that is shining outside. If we don't want to be in the light, we can choose not to be in the light. And likewise, we may shut ourselves off from the light that comes from Jesus. The choice is entirely up to us. The world was walking in darkness when Jesus came, because even in the text that we read from chapter 1, and the darkness did not comprehend it, that Jesus was there, that Jesus was walking the face of the earth, he was walking among men, and yet the world did not even comprehend. Some things never change, do they? And there are still those who cannot see the light of God because they choose not to. And putting some things in perspective, perhaps, we need to remember that the acts of wickedness have perpetrated on other human beings have always been around, have always been here, have been going on since the earliest of days. If we go back to Genesis chapter 4, we can't help but remember the story and the lessons of Cain and Abel. Genesis chapter 4, Adam and Eve had sons. With the help of the Lord, I brought forth a man, is what Eve said, and later she gave birth to her brother, his brother Abel. Verse 3, in the course of time, Cain brought forth some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Verse 6. And the Lord said to Cain, why are you so angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at the door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. Verse 8. Now Cain said to his brother Abel, let's go out to the field. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. And the Lord said to Cain, where is your brother Abel? I don't know, he replied. Am I my brother's keeper? And the Lord said, what have you done? Listen. Your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. Verse 12. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth. Very obviously, God gave to Cain and Abel choices to be made in this life. The choice to obey God or not has always been given to man, and yet sin has always been close by. And it seems that even God is identifying to Cain here when he says, you know, sin is crouching at the door in verse 7. He had said to Cain, if what you do is right, will you not be accepted? Here's the choice. The choice is right before you, Cain. And if you will make the right choice and do what you know what is to be done, it will be accepted. Be careful, sin is crouching at the door. And it remains that way today. It is God who seeks, though, to rescue the world filled with evil and decay and death. It is God who promises to deliver Christians to an eternal world that is far better than anything we could ever think of or experience on earth. Our God is for us. He is not against us. He wants us to be His people and has done and provided for us every means by which we can be His people. God is light, and He will show us the way from evil and darkness. And we need not forget that sin does not come from God. Sin originates with Satan. If we think again and we go back to our text in The book of John, chapter 8, if you still have a finger there. It was the Lord who's speaking again in the latter part of the chapter, verse 44, and He's speaking of Satan. John chapter 8 and verse 44, you are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Everything about his character is on evil only. And the Lord speaking to some who seemingly were following in the ways of Satan and saying, you're acting just like your father, Satan. It was obvious, and he was able to detect that because of their character and how they acted and who they were. Instead of walking in the light, instead of walking in the character of Jesus, the Son of God, they were walking in the character of the one who was a liar and the father of lies, one who was a murderer from the beginning. Sin begins with deception. And Satan influences human beings to choose to rebel against God's righteous way. It is only God who seeks to rescue us from the world that is filled with this anger, decay, and death. And we need to understand that God is good. And as we filter out the emotion of tragic events that take place in life, we need to remember that in no way is God connected with evil. Because God is light, and all that He does and represents is what is good and right, the light of the world. Social media this week has been lit up with comments, blaming all kinds of matters of life with the events that have taken place, the terrorist attacks and such issues. Blaming video games and the news media and poor security standards for these events that have taken place. There are those who say there's too many gun laws. There are those who say there's too few guns. There are those who say it's the removal of prayer from school that's caused all this, and a host of other causes that have brought about the terrorist scene in San Bernardino. Well, listen, none of those things caused this horrific event. The cause was depraved minds who gave into the flesh and temptation instead of choosing Jehovah God. Let's get down to brass tacks. Let's understand what is the root cause of all evil. Satan is the root cause of all evil. And we need to be careful using such tragedies as a platform to go after whatever physical blame we might want to attach to this. But instead, let's put the blame where it needs to go. Sin is the problem. Sin and all that's evil and what comes from Satan is the issue. That is the problem. And our response, we need to strike back. We need to go out and we need to respond with an assault on sin. Sin is the issue, and sin is what needs to be attacked. I am not opposed to supporting people that stand for just causes. I'm not opposed to supporting companies that produce entertainment that is wholesome. In fact, I believe we should be doing that. But the real answer is not lobbying Congress to create more laws or industries to stop producing videos. Because even if we're successful in doing that, Satan will just find another way to bring sin to the world. The issue is sin. And it is sin and all that Satan brings that has to be attacked. The root of the issue is Satan and his evil ways. And we need to attack sin the way it should be attacked, with the sword of the Spirit and the shield of truth. That has to be our place and position. And somehow, perhaps, we can use this tragedy for good, even to the glory of God, as we find new opportunities to tell and to teach our neighbor that this is the very reason why we need God. This is the very reason we need the light of life within us. And from a national standpoint, I wish and I pray that our nation would turn back to God, because ultimately, for us to have the freedoms and to enjoy the things that this nation has enjoyed in years past will be dependent and determined on whether or not as a nation we draw closer to God. And it's not too late if we are willing to submit to Jehovah God, and this being the issue and the problem. There are some lessons that we can learn from old. If we go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 12, and we consider some stories here regarding the children of Israel, God's people of old. Ancient Israel, as we know, struggled to maintain a relationship with God. It was their own sins, their own unfaithfulness that got in the way of a relationship with God. It was their sins and desires to be like other nations that drew them farther and farther away from Jehovah God. And when Rehoboam became king, Israel was not fully walking with God. 2 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 1. After Rehoboam's position as king was established and he had become strong, he and all Israel with him abandoned the law of the Lord because they had been unfaithful to the Lord. Shishak, king of Egypt, attacked Jerusalem in the fifth year of King Rehoboam with 1,200 chariots and 60,000 horsemen and innumerable troops of Libyans and Sukkites and Cushites that came with him from Egypt. He captured the fortified cities of Judah and came as far as Jerusalem. You suppose that got the attention of Rehoboam? Indeed it did. But let's understand the reason that these things happened was because they had moved so far away from God, and the protection that they had and enjoyed from God for some time was removed. It had gone away because they had moved away from God. Point of emphasis, please. God had not moved, but they had moved away from God. But soon they were reminded of their need for God and that they were not so high and mighty and powerful of themselves. Jehovah sent a prophet to them. Verse 5. Then the prophet Shemaiah came to Rehoboam and to the leaders of Judah who had assembled in Jerusalem for fear of Shishak. And he said to them, "This is what the Lord says. You have abandoned me, therefore I now abandon you to Shishak." The leaders of Israel and the king humbled themselves and said, "The Lord is just." When the Lord saw that they had humbled themselves, this word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, "Since they have humbled themselves, I will not destroy them, but will soon give them deliverance. My wrath will not be poured out on Jerusalem through Shishak. They will, however, become subject to him so that they may learn the difference between serving me and serving the kings of other lands." Lessons to be learned. They were reminded of their need of God. And when they humbled themselves, God saw that. He knew that. He heard the cry of the humble. And though they suffered the consequences of their sins, God spared them and their king. Well, in a few more pages in chapter 15, we enter into the story King Asa. Asa was a good king. He was a king in Judah, and he was one that knew God. And as Judah drew nearer to God, God would be there. 2 Chronicles 15, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Azariah, son of Obed. Azariah was a prophet of God. Verse 2. He went out to meet Asa, and he said to him, "Listen to me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you when you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you, but if you forsake him, he will forsake you." For a long time, Israel was without the true God, without a priest to teach, and without the law. But in their distress, they turned to the Lord, the God of Israel, and sought him, and he was found by them. In those days, it was not safe to travel about, for all the inhabitants of the lands were in great turmoil. One nation was being crushed by another, and one city by another, because God was troubling them with every kind of distress. "But as for you, be strong and do not give up, for your work will be rewarded." Again, as Israel remembered God and drew near to God, he was there. He never forsook Judah. The issue and the problem was that they forsook him. They had moved far away from him. But in their reform, it is said they sought God eagerly and was found by him. Verse 15, when they sought Jehovah God, he was there. It was Isaiah who said at another time, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he was near." Isaiah 55 and verse 6. And we learn from these lessons of old. The ancient call for reform and repentance is no less powerful today, but it brings with it the same power that as we draw near to God, he is there. And the time for national repentance is now. And yet there's a part of me that even says, is that even possible? Because as a nation, it seems that we have moved so far away from him. But there still is great power that draws men to God. Things that we should take advantage of. Our prayer needs to be for leaders in government. For leaders in local communities. Our prayer needs to be for our families, that they might be led nearer to God, that they may want to draw nearer the light and understand His will and His ways and be humble enough to accept these things. And when some say, "Where is God?" let's understand that God is right where He has always been. God has not moved. It's like some have said, I think we had it on our sign out front for a while. We said something like, "We're not close to God." And the question was, who moved? God hasn't moved. It's man who has moved far from him. But God is never changing, and he has always been consistent with his expectations of man. And if we want God to help us in our struggles, if we want God to help us in our pain and suffering, we need to draw nearer to him. And as others have said, why doesn't God fix this? Well, God can fix this. And in fact, really, God has already fixed this. When he sent his son to die for our sins and bring salvation to the world, he fixed this. No, he did not take away pain and suffering. He did not take away the issues and plagues and troubles of this earthly life. But he gave us a means of life eternal, a life that is without pain, without suffering, without sorrow, a life that's with him eternally, forever in heaven. The issues and the problems that we face in daily life, and even as a nation, as we see society crumble, God has fixed it. In that he has given us a means to be removed from these things and to be pulled close to him. Man's needs have always been consistent. Whether we realize that or not, if we can take our eyes off of the here and now long enough, if we can take our eyes off of what it is we want and we desire to do today, and we look at our greatest need, we can see it. Our greatest needs have nothing to do with the things that seem to consume our minds, the issues of this day or desires of the flesh. And sometimes it's hard for us to see what really matters because all of the issues that clutter our lives. But putting things into perspective, this life will end, and it won't be long. And it doesn't matter if we live to be 100. It's not long in view of eternity. Our life, even if our life is taken short by catastrophic events, that can be okay. So how do we deal with that? Life is short. How do we deal with that? How can you find comfort knowing that this life will soon end? God has given us every reason not to fear. Security and hope is what God offers. I mean, everybody that's talking about in this nation, how do we find security? How do we secure our borders? How do we secure ourselves from terrorists? All of these issues are important, and I understand. But true security and hope cannot be found in anything that is of this life and of this world. We are the ones that need to know and understand that more than any others. If we are the ones walking in the light, if we are the ones walking with the Lord, we have to understand true security and hope is not found in this life. If we say we want to find safety, and if we want to find security and hope, we need to look to the right source. Go in your Bibles with me to the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs, chapter 18. You know, as we think about all the news that we see day by day, and I watch that too. I look on the internet, and I click on a couple of times a day just to see what's going on right now. I try not to dwell on it, because whatever is happening today is just temporary. I have the same issues, I suppose, that we all do, that we'd like to see some change in direction of this country, and hope and pray that there can be leadership that will help effect some change in a good way. But I don't know what's going to happen there. I can't predict that. And what I want may not happen. But if we want real safety and security and hope, let's understand we have to go to the right source. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run to it and are saved. Our hope, safety, and security is found in a single source. It's found in the Lord. Turn to chapter 29. Chapter 29, verse 25. Fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. I wonder how many of us become so concerned and so bogged down with the issues of life and things that are happening in this country. Of course, we're all distressed by the moral decay and attacks on this country. It has to concern us. But we can become bogged down with these things where we become consumed with them, where it becomes the focal point of our day and the focal point of our life. And if that's what happens, we've missed something. We've missed everything. We have missed everything if that is what becomes the main concern of our lives. Chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. We have hope in the Lord. We have every means and every reason to trust Him in all things. Our security, our safety, our hope in this life is found in the light of men, or in the light of man, we should say. That is in the Lord. That is in the Son of God, whom our Father sent to be a light unto the world. No, the world does not recognize Him. The world cannot comprehend, as the text would say. The world cannot comprehend the Lord. But we represent the people that should understand and that must understand where our true hope and security is found. The bigger question, the most vital issue of life, is not the headlines that fill the daily news. The most vital issue of life is whether we stand right before God. Because in judgment, nothing else will matter. Regardless of what happens to this nation, whether it stands or falls, whether there is more moral decay, regardless of what happens in this life, all that will truly matter is when we stand before the Lord. Behold, now is an accepted time, the apostle wrote, because now is the day of salvation. He was quoting the prophets of old, and the point was true then, and it was true when the apostle wrote this in the first century. And it's just as true today. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We want to find some rest. We want to find some comfort. We want to find peace of mind. It can be found one place, and that's in Jesus Christ, the light of men, the light that is sent from God above. It is the offering of Jesus Christ, the sacrifice of His blood, by which we have this hope. In Colossians chapter 1, the apostle is writing to those who have already made a decision or a choice to be in Christ. Chapter 2 helps us to know that these were the ones who were buried in baptism, those who had put off an old life and have put on a new. And in chapter 1 of the letter, in verse 13, he writes that He has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. When the day of judgment comes, when this life is no more and we stand before the Lord, this is all that's going to matter, is that we can stand before Him right and whole and pure. We stand before Him as those baptized believers in Jesus Christ, those who've been buried with Him in baptism, raised to walk in a newness of life, finding a hope and security that is everlasting, knowing that whatever happens in this life, whatever happens even in this nation, is going to pale in significance to the day that we stand before the King. Got to get a grasp of that. We have got to know and to understand who we are and the true King that we will stand before. Are you ready for that day? Are you ready today to stand before the Lord? We have no idea when this life will come to an end. Are you ready to stand before the Lord? Safety and security and hope can be found in one source. Our safety is found in the arms of Jesus and nowhere else. Are you ready to stand with Him? Are you ready to walk with Him? You need to become a child of God. Please don't delay. Would you come as we stand and sing?